Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Bank Robbery and Forced Accompaniment Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 13, 2015, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Whitfield v. United States. This case concerns 18 U.S.C. Section 2113E, which provides a minimum sentence of 10 years and a maximum sentence of life imprisonment for a bank robber who forces another person to accompany him during the robbery or while fleeing the scene. The question is whether the requirement that the robber force another person to accompany him requires proof of more than a minimal movement of the victim. Justice Scalia delivered the opinion for a unanimous court, which held that a bank robber, for purposes of Section 2113E, forces a person to accompany him when he compels that person to go somewhere with him, even if the movement occurs entirely within a single building or over a short distance. To discuss the case, we have Professor John Stiniford, who is Associate Professor of Law and Assistant Director of the Criminal Justice Center at the University of Florida Levin College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Stiniford.
Hi, everybody. We're here today to talk about the Supreme Court's recent decision in Whitfield versus United States, a case that looked like it might start with a bang but ended ultimately with a whimper. But it's still worth taking time to look at and think about because it raises implications that are very important with respect to prosecutorial power and the danger of overly broad federal criminal statutes, issues similar to the ones also raised recently in cases like Bond versus United States and Yates versus United States. So first of all, let me tell you what Whitfield did in this case and then describe the statute he was charged under. I'll then talk a little bit about what his theory was as to how the statute should have been interpreted, and then ultimately what the Supreme Court did with it himself. So Whitfield was an unsuccessful bank robber. He tried to rob a credit union, and his attempt failed, and he ran away and ultimately ran into the home of an elderly woman. Now, he had already abandoned his gun, so he was unarmed, but he entered the home of Mary Parnell, who was 79 years old and who had a history of heart disease and high blood pressure. And he got into the house. He told her he was unarmed and that he wasn't going to hurt her. Nonetheless, he asked her to move with him from the hallway of her home into the home's computer room so that the police would not see him. When this happened, Ms. Parnell had a heart attack, probably from the shock of his entering the house, and died. Whitfield ran away once again, but was caught shortly thereafter. And he was charged under the federal bank robbery statute, but he was also charged with a penalty enhancement from a portion of the statute that covers people who, during the course of a bank theft or a bank robbery, force any person to accompany him without the consent of such person. So he got this escalator because he had forced Ms. Parnell to accompany him from the hallway of her house into the computer room. He was charged under this penalty enhancing statute. So now let's talk about the way the bank robbery statute works and the way the penalty enhancing provision works, and that'll help us understand what the issues are surrounding this case. So the first thing you should know is that the bank robbery statute is contained in Title 18, United States Code, Section 2113, and this covers four distinct crimes, some of which are misdemeanors and some of which are felonies. So the most serious crime under the statute is bank robbery, which involves taking money from a bank by force or threat of force. It also covers felony bank theft, which means taking more than $1,000 without a threat of force. It also covers misdemeanor bank theft, taking $1,000 or less without a threat of force. And then finally, it covers receipt of money stolen from a bank. So someone else stole it and you receive it after the fact. That is a separate crime. Now, the penalties basically, you know, start at the top for bank robbery at 0 to 20 years in jail. Felony bank theft is 0 to 10 years. misdemeanor bank theft is 0 to 1 year. So that's sort of the basic structure of the bank robbery statute. But we also have this penalty-enhancing provision, a Section E, which, as I said a minute ago, enhances the penalty of anyone who forces another person to accompany him without the consent of such person. And basically, anyone who violates this provision gets a minimum sentence of 10 years, anywhere up to life. And if death results from the accompaniment, then the minimum penalty is life imprisonment and the maximum penalty is death. It's also worth noting that this enhancement provision appears to apply to all four of the distinct bank-related crimes I just talked about. Not only bank robbery, that is, but also felony bank theft, misdemeanor bank theft, and even misdemeanor receiving money stolen from a bank. So you can imagine if a person, let's say a person commits misdemeanor bank theft, and in the course of such theft forces someone to accompany him, and that person dies. Let's say, for example, Ms. Parnell dies because she has to go from one room in her house to another. The penalty for the crime could escalate from a misdemeanor, you know, 0 to 1 years in jail, all the way up to a capital offense. You could get the death penalty for misdemeanor bank theft so long as you force someone to accompany with you during the course of such theft, right? So that raises obvious concerns, and in particular, concerns surround what the meaning of the phrase or the word accompany should be in the context of this statute. How can we interpret the word accompany so that it gets at the behavior it was meant to get at, but does not cover really minor, minimal behavior that might be interpreted as accompanying, but that really doesn't deserve such a stiff penalty enhancement? Whitfield argues in this case that to accompany someone under the statute means to be forced to go with them for a substantial distance. And he argued that in this case, he did not make Ms. Parnell travel a substantial distance. They really only walked from one room to another, and therefore he should not be found to have forced her to accompany him during the course of this robbery. And his basic argument derives from the origin of this particular statute. It was enacted after John Dillinger, who, you know, sort of a notorious bank robber who would often make people who were there at the bank with him accompany him out of the bank to help them escape. They'd sort of act as human shields while he tried to escape. And so the statute was trying to get at that sort of conduct. And Whitfield says that that conduct involved moving a substantial difference. You're leaving the bank, you're going down the street. That's very dangerous conduct. That sort of conduct deserves substantial punishment, whereas just making someone walk across a room with you does not raise the same sort of danger that Dillinger's conduct raised, and so it should not be punished as harshly as this statute calls for. And so he says, unless you accompany someone for a substantial distance, you should not come within the terms of this statute. So ultimately, and you know, the statute, as I noted, raises lots of concerns about overpunishment. It also raises lots of concerns about prosecutorial discretion, the risk that prosecutors might use it to force plea bargains, right? That if you can say to someone who you're accusing of a bank robbery, if you don't plead guilty, I'm going to charge you with a penalty enhancement and you're going to get a life sentence instead of just a few years in jail, prosecutors may be able to enforce plea bargains in the vast majority of cases. And if the penalty enhancement is great enough, in fact, they could probably force plea bargains even where the defendant is innocent. So now, the Supreme Court clearly was concerned about this problem and troubled by it when it took certiorari in this case, but you wouldn't know it based on the opinion the court ultimately issued. At the end of the day, the Supreme Court issued a unanimous opinion authored by Justice Scalia. It was only 5 pages long, and it rejected Whitfield's argument basically on textualist grounds. The court said accompany means accompany. There is no language in the statute requiring that the victim be forced to move a substantial distance, and therefore we are not going to interpret it in that way. The court did note also that although the statute was enacted in response to Dillinger, there are other types of situations involving accompaniment that might be equally dangerous, but that don't involve movement over a substantial distance. For example, if a bank robber forces someone in the bank to go to the window with him and act as a human shield at the window, that might be very dangerous indeed, but it would not involve moving a substantial distance. And the court said, we think the statute is meant to cover this sort of conduct as well as movement outside the bank, et cetera, and so forth. And so the court says, the statute does not require accompaniment over a substantial distance. All it requires is that the bank robber or the bank thief force the victim to move with them some distance. Now, there is a little bit of a limitation imposed in this case on the scope of the statute. And I'll just quote from the Supreme Court's opinion. The court said, it is true enough that accompaniment does not embrace minimal movement. For example, the movement of a bank teller's feet when the robber grabs her arm. It must constitute movement that would normally be described as from one place to another, even if only from one spot within a room or outdoors to a different one. So again, it's more than minimal movement, right? If I push you and you stumble a little bit, I am not forcing you to accompany me. But if I make you move from one place to another, then I come within the scope of the statute, even if those two places are close to each other, like one spot in a room to another spot in a room. And so the court said, in this case, since Whitfield made Parnell accompany him anywhere from sort of 5 to 9 feet in distance, that is enough to come within the scope of the statute. Finally, the court did say that it was not overly worried about prosecutorial abuse just because most bank robbers don't seem to force people in the bank to accompany them any distance at all. They may force them to move. They may force a bank teller, for example, to go back into the vault to get some money, but that doesn't mean they're forcing them to move with the bank robber, and that's what the term accompany means. So at the end of the day, the Supreme Court did not limit the scope of this statute, and the word accompany means anything more than minimal movement. Anytime you force a person to go from one place to another, even if those two places are within the same room, you come within the scope of the statute. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.